Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take the overwhelming, the complex, and let's be honest, sometimes the outright frustrating technical challenge, and we turn it into a clear, unified game plan.
And today, our mission is, I think, one of the most critical in the modern productivity stack. We're talking about optimizing local, personal speech to text.
Right, SCT.
Our listeners sent in a fantastic stack of sources that cover everything from, you know, the big architectural breakthroughs to the very specific pains of running modern AI on AMD GPUs.
I saw that, yeah. And the big question that ties it all together, is personalized voice adaptation actually worth the effort?
Exactly. We're trying to move from that feeling of being paralyzed by documentation, asking, okay, which engine do I use? Which format? What on earth is this environment? Variable.
Right, to having a definitive, actionable strategy, this deep dive is basically your shortcut to mastering that whole fine-tuning process.
And to really appreciate what we're trying to do here, we have to, just for a second, look at the history. If you, like me, tried to do anything with speech recognition a decade ago on Linux.
Oh, don't remind me. Pocket Sphinx. Julius.
It was so disappointing. Frustratingly so.
Yeah.
The accuracy was just, I mean, it was abysmal. Maybe 60, 70% in a quiet room, if you were lucky.
If you were lucky, yeah. And they required these, like, Byzantine multi-component pipelines. I remember spending weeks just trying to wire together hidden Markov models.
HMMs.
With Gaussian mixture models. And then you had to find a language model with n-grams. It wasn't a product. It was like a Frankenstein's monster of different parts.
It was an incredible amount of effort just to get something bad to run. And that whole architecture was just fundamentally flawed. Where every single component had to be trained separately.
You had the acoustic model for the phonemes.
The language model to predict the next word, a pronunciation dictionary you had to maintain.
Yeah.
It was just so brittle.
And those n-grams, they could only look, what, 3 to 5 words ahead?
At best. Which means they were contextually blind.
Contextually blind is the perfect way to put it. You could say, I need to sail the seas. And it might transcribe, I need to sell the seas.
Because it just couldn't see the bigger picture. But then, September 2022, OpenAI releases Whisper. And that wasn't just, you know, an incremental improvement.
No, it was a sea change.
It was the actual bona fide, viable technology moment. It solved, like, 90% of those old problems basically overnight.
And that's what we're digging into. We've got some really specific technical challenges to hit today, especially for our listener. The sources give us this incredible look at the AMD hardware issues.
The pain points, yeah. The GFX 1101 architecture. The limitations of ROCm.
And we're not just talking hardware. We're getting into the hyper-specifics of fine-tuning strategy, hyperparameters, data prep, and the core reason why you'd even bother.
Right, that core rationale. Why customize ASR when the stock model's already pretty good? Well, because of things like code switching between English and Hebrew, or mastering that really technical niche vocabulary.
So it's the complete picture. From the massive scale that gave Whisper its power in the first place, down to the granular level of which software settings you need to get that personalized excellence on the hardware you already own.
Let's unpack it.
Okay, let's start with the revolution. Why did Whisper succeed where literally decades of research just couldn't quite get there? It goes back to 2017, right?
It all comes down to the transformer architecture. That paper, attention is all you need. Before that, you had these sequential models like RNNs, LSTMs.
Right. They had to process sound over time, one little chunk after another.
And they were always trying to remember the beginning of the sentence by the time they got to the end. They had this vanishing gradient problem.
It's like trying to solve a complex puzzle, but you're only allowed to see one piece at a time.
That's a perfect analogy. But the transformer, with its self-attention mechanism, it processes the entire input sequence all at once.
The whole 30-second chunk.
The whole thing. It looks at the whole picture, and it calculates how important every single part of that sequence is to every other part. And that gives it true global context.
Which is how it can tell the difference between sail the seas and sell the seas.
Exactly. That is the fundamental difference. And once you have that architectural breakthrough, the next ingredient is just raw, unbelievable volume.
The scale of the training data was just astronomical.
We're talking 680,000 hours of multilingual web scrape data. I mean, to put that in perspective, that's over 77 years of continuous audio.
77 years.
And it wasn't just clean English. It was 98 languages, dialects, accents, background noise, you know, terrible microphone recordings from the web.
And the result of all that messy data is instant robustness.
Precisely. The old models were so brittle. If you had a slightly different accent or a fan whirring in the background, the accuracy would just plummet.
Right.
But Whisper was trained on everything.
Yeah.
So it learned what speech sounds like when it's noisy. It knows how to filter the signal from the noise because it's seen millions of examples of it.
So we move from that Frankenstein's monster of components.
HMMs, GMMs, all that.
To a single unified architecture.
It's a single end-to-end encoder, decoder, transformer. You feed it audio, it outputs text. No separate acoustic models, no separate language models, no manually curated pronunciation dictionaries. It learns all of it, all at once.
Okay, but let's dig into that bootstrapping story. 680,000 hours. The big question is, how did they get the transcripts? They didn't hire an army of people to type for 77 years.
No. And that's the fascinating part of modern AI. It's all about weekly supervised learning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the 50s and 60s, you had tiny data sets, less than 50 hours, all transcribed by hand. That was the seed.
Perfect quality, but useless quantity.
Totally. Then, fast forward, and as the internet grows, you suddenly have this massive amount of audio paired with imperfect transcripts.
Like YouTube's auto captions.
Exactly. Or audiobooks with human written text that's maybe a little misaligned, Whisper leverage, all of that.
So how did they know which ones were good enough to use?
They used advanced automated quality checking. They'd basically use older, less perfect ASR models to see if the alignment between the audio and the existing text was close enough to be considered supervised data.
So it's a feedback loop.
It's a huge multi-generational feedback loop.
Mm.
The 680,000 hours are the result of filtering just massive amounts of web data to find the highest quality pairs. It's an incredible feat of data engineering.
And the impact was just immediate. You can see it in the market. This wasn't some academic toy.
Oh, the stats are clear. The market's projected to hit almost $50 billion by 2032. Whisper itself got, 60,000 stars on GitHub in its first year?
And people are actually using it. Live captioning usage has jumped, which means people to trust it now.
It crossed that threshold from maybe helpful if I'm desperate to this is a reliable professional tool.
Okay, so we've established the tech is revolutionary, the software is there. But now we hit the ground, the reality that our listener is facing. Getting this amazing software to actually run on their specific non-NVIDIA hardware.
And this is where the story gets a lot more specific and, frankly, a lot more fraught with peril.
Yeah.
When you go with Team Red, with AMD, you are choosing to rely on ROCm.
Which is their compute stack.
And historically, it's been the, immature sibling to NVIDIA's UDA. Most of these AI engines were just built for CDA first.
Right. It feels like trying to plug an American appliance into a European socket. You need an adapter, and sometimes that adapter is shaky.
That's a great way to put it. For our listener who's using an RDNA 3 card like the RX 7700 XT, that's the GFX 1101 architecture, the core challenge is twofold. First, compatibility.
Just making it work.
Just making the libraries see and use the hardware correctly. And second, optimization. And avoiding that incredibly frustrating thing you mentioned. The silent CPU fallback. It's insidious. You think you run on the GPU, you check your system monitor, and your CPU is maxed out while your expensive GPU is just sitting there at like 2%.
Okay, let's give the listener the definitive hierarchy. We need a clear ranking of the best engines for AMD GPU acceleration. Tier 1, the number one recommendation.
Tier 1, without a doubt, is faster Whisper. And the why here is the most important part.
So what's the why? What makes it so much better than the original from OpenAI?
It completely rips out and replaces the PyTorch backend with something called C-Translate 2.
Okay, and what is C-Translate 2?
It's a dedicated library built by OpenAI specifically for fast, efficient inference of transform models. It's written in C++S, not Python. And it has official, dedicated, robust ROCm support.
So it's not just a wrapper around the old stuff. It's a whole new engine under the hood.
Precisely. It uses these highly optimized kernels for ROCm, and that gives you a performance boost of 3 to 4 times faster inference than the original Whisper on PyTorch, and it uses less VRAM.
That's huge. And it works on the listener's specific card.
Yep. It's proven compatible across the RDNA architectures, including GFX 1101.
Okay, so faster Whisper is tier one. What's in tier two? The it works but category.
Tier two is workable but slow. So that's where you'd put the original OpenAI Whisper running on PyTorch with ROCm. It works, it's accurate, but it's just slow because of all that Python overhead.
Okay. And it got locked.
ONNX runtime is also in there. ONNX is a great format, but it's not plug and play. It requires you to convert the model and do some manual tuning.
And the engines to avoid, the ones that will just lead to frustration.
Tier three, avoid for GPU. And that is, I have to say, Whisper.cpu.
Oh, that's surprising. I thought that was really popular.
It's a marvel for CPU-only performance. It's the fastest way to run Whisper on a laptop CPU. but its ROCM support is highly experimental, buggy, and it's the number one culprit for that silent CPU fallback.
Got it. So avoid that for GPU use. So let's nail down the workflow. For our listener with their AMD card, what's the exact sequence of tools?
You split it into two phases, development and deployment. For development, so the fine-tuning part, you use PyTorch on ROCM.
Why PyTorch for that part?
Because it just has all the tools. The optimizers, the community support for training, it's the easiest environment to work in for fine-tuning. But as soon as you have that final model, that safe tensors file,
you convert it.
You immediately convert it using the Ctranslate 2 utilities. Then, for deployment, for the actual day-to-day inference, you use the faster Whisper library, loading that converted Ctranslate 2 model.
So you get the best of both worlds. The flexibility of PyTorch for training and the raw speed of Ctranslate 2 for inference.
That's the path.
Now, you mentioned an environment variable. This seems like one of those tiny details that can make or break the whole setup.
This is mission critical. For the RDNA 3 cards, the RX 7000 series, you have to set this environment variable. HSA override XX version 11.0.1.
And if you don't?
If you don't, ROCM often fails to load the correct optimized kernels for your card. It falls back to a slow, generic one, or worse, just gives up and defaults to the CPU. Without this one line, your Tier 1 setup performs like it's Tier 3.
Okay, so you've done all that. You've launched Faster Whisper. How do you know for sure that the GPU is doing the work? How do you hunt down that fallback?
You have to use the ROCM System Management Interface. It's a command line tool. Rockimus May.
Like NVIDIA's NVIDIA's May.
Exactly like it. You run that while you're transcribing a chunk of audio, and you should see the GPU compute utilization instantly spike to, 90 or 100%. The CPU usage should stay relatively low.
And if the CPU is spiking and the GPU is sitting at 5%?
That's your red flag. You've got a problem. Okay. Stop, check your installation, and make sure that HSA override EFXX version variable is set correctly in your session.
Okay, last thing on this section, model formats. We have safe tensors, GGUF, Ctranslate 2. For this specific AMD desktop setup, what's the final definitive target format?
The definitive target is the Ctranslate 2 format. We'll talk more about GGUF later. It's phenomenal for CPUs. But for raw speed on this specific AMD GPU setup, using Faster Whisper, Ctranslate 2 is purpose-built for that job. It sacrifices some general utility for pure, unadulterated speed.
Okay, now that we know the right software path, let's talk about a major source of anxiety. Our listeners saw their media model pushing their RX 7700 XT to 100% utilization during transcription. And they worried, is my GPU a bottleneck? Is this bad?
Yeah, this is a huge one. And it requires a big mental shift away from how we think about gaming.
Right. In a game, if your GPU is at 100% all the time, you're on the edge. You might be worried about heat or throttling.
But AI inference isn't a marathon.
It's a sprint.
It's a series of sprints. You load a 30-second audio chunk. The GPU calculates all the tensors. That's the sprint.
Yeah.
It hits 100% for maybe, half a second, 2 seconds.
And then it drops right back down to idle.
Right back to idle while the CPU gets the next chunk ready.
Mm.
So that 100% spike is actually a sign of efficiency. It means you're not being held back. You're using the full power of your hardware for that brief moment.
So you want to see that spike.
You should be happy to see it. It means your setup is working perfectly.
Let's clarify the VRAM versus compute power distinction, because I think that's where the confusion comes from.
They do totally different jobs. The VRAM, so the 8 gigabytes on the 7700 XT, that just determines what size model you can load. 8 gigs is plenty for the medium model, maybe even a quantized large model.
So memory isn't the problem?
Not at all. The compute power, the TFLOPS, that's what determines how fast that 100% sprint is. Your card has a ton of FP16 power. So the model loads into VRAM, and then the compute engines just go flat out until the job is done. A 100% spike means they're going as fast as they can.
So the key metric isn't utilization, it's the real-time factor, RTF.
Exactly. RTF is the only thing that matters. If you have an RTF of 1.0, it takes 1 second to transcribe 1 second of audio. For live use, you need it to be well below 1.0.
And with this hardware, you'd expect.
On this card, with the media model, you're probably getting an RTF around 0.5 or even lower. So you're running at twice the speed of real time. That's fantastic performance.
So let's just bust the myths directly. Does that 100% spike hurt the quality of the transcription?
Not one bit. The quality is determined by the model's math. And the math is the same whether the calculation takes half a second or 2 seconds. Speed doesn't change the answer.
Does it mean you need to upgrade your GPU?
Absolutely not. You only upgrade if your RTF is too slow for your needs. If you're running faster than real time, your hardware is doing its job perfectly.
And what about reserving power for, the rest of the system, your display.
That's negligible. Display composition uses a tiny fraction of the GPU's power, maybe less than 1%. And modern GPUs are designed to schedule these tasks. You can let the compute engine use 100% in those bursts, and your system will still feel perfectly responsive.
So the advice is, stop looking at the utilization percentage.
Yes. Monitor your VRAM usage and your temperature. Keep it under 85 degrees Celsius. But those 100% compute spikes, that's a sign of mission success. Your RX 7700 XT is perfect for this.
Okay. Hardware anxiety is now officially put to rest. Let's move to strategy. Our listener has these specific needs: code switching, technical jargon, accent adaptation. So let's validate why fine-tuning is not just, you know, a fun project, but actually critical for them.
Fine-tuning is what turns a mass-market product into a truly personal tool.
Huh.
The Stock Whisperer model is a generalist. It's a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none. Fine-tuning makes it a master of you.
Let's start with code switching. That's a huge one for bilingual speakers.
It's a massive challenge for a general model. Even though Whisper is multilingual, when it hears a Hebrew word dropped into an English sentence, its English language model tries to jam it into an English-sounding word.
So it'll hear Tamar and write Tamer.
Or something even less related. Fine-tuning teaches the model your specific predictable patterns of bilingual speech so it knows, ah, that's a Hebrew word, I'll transcribe it correctly.
And then there's technical vocabulary. This is where I see the most errors in my own use.
Oh, absolutely. Acronyms like CUDA or GRPC, specific product names. Mm-hmm. These words are just statistically rare in that huge 680,000-hour data set.
So whispers have barely ever seen them.
Right. It might hear GRPC and just spell it out GRPC, or guess GRIPC. Mm-hmm. Fine-tuning reinforces the correct spelling, the capitalization, and the context for these high-value terms that are central to your work.
And finally, that personal touch, adapting to your own accent.
General models are trained on an average of thousands of accents. Fine-tuning specializes the model for your unique pronunciation, your pace, your prosody, in this case is really English. It learns the rhythm of your voice.
Yeah, okay, so that brings us to the core strategic decision. Why focus on fine-tuning a smaller model, like small or tiny, for local use, instead of just pouring all that data into the huge, large model that you can only access through a cloud API?
This is what we can call the crossover effect, and it's where the real strategic win is. When you fine-tune the small model on your high-quality personal data, its performance for your specific domain and voice can actually approach or even beat the stock medium or large model.
Wait, really? How is that possible? Isn't the large model just fundamentally better?
It's better in a general sense, yes. But here's the thing. The smaller models, they have more room for improvement. They have less capacity, so they were forced to learn broader, more general patterns.
So they have more useless knowledge that can be replaced.
That's a great way to put it. Fine-tuning a small model lets you replace large chunks of irrelevant general knowledge, like, I don't know, vocabulary about 18th century poetry, with focused, high-value knowledge about your technical field.
So you're making a bigger proportional change to the model's worldview.
Exactly. If the small model has, say, 100 knowledge slots, and you customize 10 of them, you've changed 10% of its brain. The large model has 10,000 slots. Your custom data might only adjust 50 of them. It's a much smaller dent.
So you see a more dramatic drop in the word error rate.
A much more dramatic relative drop.
Mm.
You might see the stock medium model get, say, an 8% word error rate on your audio, but a well-fine-tuned small model could drop that to 7%.
And it runs way faster and costs nothing after the initial effort.
And that's the clincher. The ability to run it locally, for free, with total privacy and offline capability. That massively outweighs the tiny, marginal accuracy gain you might get from a super expensive, large model API in the cloud. For a solo user, the fine-tuned small model is the clear strategic winner.
Okay, strategy is set. Fine-tune the small model. Now let's get into the listener's architectural question. How can a few hours of my data, a tiny speck compared to the 77 years of original training, actually update this massive model without breaking it, without, you know, catastrophic forgetting?
That's the paradox, right? How do you teach it new tricks without making it forget all the old ones, like basic English grammar? And the answer is really elegant. It comes down to hyperparameter controls and some clever architectural techniques.
It starts with the learning rate, I assume?
Yes. The initial training used big learning rates, big steps to learn quickly. Fine-tuning uses extremely small learning rates. We're talking 1E5, 1E4. It's not taking giant leaps. It's making tiny, cautious nudges.
So you're not rebuilding the foundation. You're just polishing the surface.
That's exactly it. The original model is already in a really good spot. Fine-tuning just gently pushes it to an adjacent, slightly better spot that's optimized for your data without letting it fall out of that deep valley of existing knowledge.
And this learning isn't applied evenly across the whole model, is it?
No, not at all. You see this clear dynamic where the early layers of the encoder, the ones that handle basic acoustic features like what a foam sounds like, they barely change at all. Maybe 0.1% of their weights are adjusted.
You don't want to mess with the physics of sound.
You don't. But the later layers, especially in the decoder, the ones handling the language model and vocabulary, they're much more flexible.
That's where the specialization happens.
Correct. You see significant weight changes there, maybe 10 to 30%. That's where the model learns your code switching patterns and your technical terms. So you get this targeted plasticity that avoids catastrophic forgetting.
And modern techniques like LoRA make this even more efficient. How can we explain LoRA conversationally?
Okay, imagine the huge pre-trained model is like a giant, perfectly woven quilt. It's beautiful. It works really well. You don't want to unravel and restitch the whole thing just to add a small custom patch with your name on it.
Right. That would take forever, and you might ruin the original pattern.
Precisely. So what LoRA does is it freezes the original quilt completely. You don't touch it. Instead, you add two tiny, efficient adapter matrices on top of it. These are your specialized patches.
So they're separate from the main model.
They are. They're extremely small, and they capture all the new specialized knowledge. So when the model runs, it uses the original quilt plus the information from your custom patch. The update is additive, not destructive.
So the model isn't confused. It's not trying to choose between general English and my tech jargon.
It's learning context. It's learning conditional behavior. It knows, okay, the general rules of English apply. But when I hear this person's voice and these specific acoustic cues, I should prioritize the knowledge from the custom patch. It learns when to apply the patch.
That makes a lot of sense. What about punctuation? That's super personal. Can I fine-tune it to use dashes the way I do or my specific comma frequency?
You can try. You can feed it punctuated transcripts.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge is that your speaking style doesn't always map perfectly to your writing style. And punctuation signals in audio are really sparse.
So you risk confusing the model.
You risk compromising the core transcription task by trying to make it a master of your personal writing style, too. There's a much better, more practical solution.
Which is?
Modularity. You fine-tune a separate punctuation restoration model.
Mm-hmm.
This is a small, lightweight language model that you train only on your existing written work, your notes, your documents, your blog posts.
Ah, so it's a two-step process.
Exactly. Whisper does the raw transcription, gets the words right. Then you pipe that raw text through your personal punctuation model, and it adds the commas, periods, and dashes exactly the way you like them.
That gives you maximum control.
Maximum control. And it lets each model do what it does best. It's the clean, enterprise way to get a polished final output.
Okay, we've got the strategy. We understand the architecture. Now for the most critical part, building the data set.
This is where the whole project lives or dies, right?
This is absolutely the bottleneck. Garbage in, garbage out. You can have the best hardware, the best code, but if your data is bad, your model will be bad.
So let's tackle the first big question. My intuition says I should record my training data in my noisy office because that's where I'm going to use the model. Train how you fight.
That intuition makes sense, but the answer is a firm no, or at least not for your primary data.
Really? Why not?
About 80% of your training data needs to be clean, high-quality audio. The model has to first learn the perfect, idealized signal of your voice, your pronunciation, your vocabulary, without any interference.
So if I train it on noisy data, it learns a noisy, degraded version of my voice.
Exactly. It bakes the noise into its understanding of your core vocal features, and that limits its maximum possible accuracy.
So then how do you teach it to handle noise? Through targeted programmatic augmentation. You take that beautiful, clean audio, and then you use software to add controlled amounts of noise, reverb, different microphone effects.
Ah, so you separate the two learning tasks.
You separate learning the signal, your voice, from learning how to handle noise. It's a much more efficient and effective way to build robustness.
Okay, let's get into the hard specs. The non-negotiable audio requirements for Whisper.
These are fixed. Your sample rate must be 16 kilohertz. The model is only trained on that. If you feed it 44.1, it has to be downsampled correctly.
Okay, 16 kilohertz. What else?
It has to be mono. Stereo is just redundant data that can confuse it.
Right.
And the file format should be something lossless, like WAV or FLAC, so you're not starting with compression artifacts.
And what about the length of each audio clip? Whisper has that hard limit.
It does. The hard 30-second maximum constraint. That's because of its fixed input size. Anything longer has to be split.
So what's the optimal length for training samples?
The listener's preference for 20 to 30 second segments is actually excellent. Shorter clips of 5 to 15 seconds are fine, but those longer, more natural chunks of speech are great for capturing prosody and context.
Right. It helps the model learn the rhythm of a full sentence. Now let's talk volume. How much of this data do I actually need to collect to see a real difference?
We can give some good guidelines. For a practical minimum, if you collect 2 to 5 hours of high-quality transcribed audio, you will see a noticeable improvement, a 10 to 20% relative reduction in your error rate.
Okay, so that's enough to prove it works, but to get a really solid professional-grade result.
For that, you want to aim for 10 to 20 hours. That's where you get solid domain adaptation. That's enough data for the model to really learn the statistical patterns of your speech and technical terms. You could see a 20 to 40% error reduction.
That's a huge return on investment. Lastly, how do we organize all this data? I can just imagine having thousands of little WAV files and TXT files and it becoming a total mess.
You have to move away from that fragile setup. The de facto standard is the Hugging Face audio dataset format.
How does that work?
Instead of thousands of file pairs, you have all your audio files, and then a single centralized metadata file, usually a JSON or a CSV file. That one file contains all the transcriptions and any other important info.
Why is that better?
It makes everything foolproof. It enables atomic operations, so your audio and text can't get out of sync. It allows for lazy loading, which is way more memory efficient. It just brings professional-level organization to your personal project.
We have the fine-tuned model. We have the gold standard data set. Now let's talk deployment, the final reality. When you hit record in a modern STT app, you're not just using one model.
No, you're kicking off a whole orchestrated system,
right?
A multi-model symphony, really. A modern app is using 4 to 6 specialized models.
Okay, break that down. What's phase one?
Phase one is pre-processing. You've got a tiny voice activity detection model, a VAD, that's always listening. It filters out silence, so the big power-hungry ASR model isn't running constantly.
It's the gatekeeper.
It's the gatekeeper. Then phase two is your heavy lifter, your fine-tuned whisper model doing the actual transcription. And phase three is post-processing.
Which is where our punctuation model comes in.
Exactly. Lightweight models for punctuation restoration and maybe speaker diarization if you need to know who said what. You need all these parts for a polished experience.
This brings up the difference between real-time voice typing and what you'd call async transcription. For note-taking, is one of them just plain more accurate?
Oh, yes. Batch or async transcription is reliably more accurate. You can see a 5 to 20% improvement in your error rate over real-time, even with the exact same model.
Wow, why is the difference so big?
Because you remove the latency constraint. In batch mode, you record the whole file first. This lets the system find the best, most natural places to segment the audio instead of just chopping it every 30 seconds to keep up.
And it gets better context.
Full bidirectional context. In real time, the model can only look backward. In batch mode, it can look forward and backward across the whole sentence, which massively improves its ability to disambiguate words. For high-quality notes, async is the way to go.
We talked about GGUF and C-Translate 2 earlier. Let's just contrast them one last time for deployment.
Okay, so GGUF is the king of CPU and edge deployment. It's brilliant because it packs all the metadata quantization settings, context size, right into the single model file. It's built for portability and efficiency on CPUs.
And C-Translate 2.
C-Translate 2 is stripped down for one purpose.
Yeah.
Raw, fast GPU inference. It's streamlined C++ code that's all about speed. For this listener's AMD desktop, it's the speed champion, hands down.
Finally, let's talk cost. Running a GPU in the cloud 24/7 is not cheap.
It's a massive cost sink. You're looking at $250 to $500 a month, easily. The recommended path is so clear here. Local deployment on your existing RX 7700 XT.
The ongoing cost is just electricity.
Which is maybe, what, $15 to $30 a month? It's nothing compared to the cloud.
And how do you securely access that local engine when you're not at home?
You use a secure tunneling solution. Something like Cloudflare Tunnel or Tailscale. It gives you a secure way to access your home API from any device, anywhere in the world, with total privacy and for basically zero cost.
So what does this all mean? We've gone from the early days of ASR disappointment through the Whisper Revolution, navigated the pains of AMD hardware, and landed on a clear, personalized strategy.
The core conclusion is pretty definitive, I think. Fine-tuning a smaller model, like small or tiny, on clean augmented data, and then deploying it locally with Faster Whisper and C-Translate 2, that is the optimal path for you.
You get speed, privacy, and accuracy that's tailored to your exact needs. It's better than a stock cloud API.
It's a tool that truly works for you. But it's still not flawless.
So where is the frontier? What's going to close that final frustrating gap between excellent and perfect?
The last 2%. Right. The frontier now is moving beyond just recognizing words and into understanding structure and semantics. Current ASR is amazing. 2-4% error rate on clean audio. The final leap is about handling real-world complexity.
Things like multiple people talking over each other.
Exactly. And advanced formatting. The next generation won't just give you a wall of text. It'll understand paragraph breaks, titles, bullet points.
And speaker diarization, who said what will be flawless, and I assume deep integration with LLMs.
That's the key. Integration with large language models for semantic post-processing. The next gen of ASR won't just transcribe better, it will understand the conversation better.
We know from the sources that the really mission-critical ASR for air traffic control or medical transcription, that stuff requires millions of dollars in custom data and constant human verification to get to near zero errors.
And that is the final provocative thought we want to leave you with. Achieving that near-perfect accuracy in your own niche, even as a solo user, means you have to start embracing those same enterprise principles.
The technology is basically solved.
The software and hardware strategy is there. The final critical step to perfection isn't about finding a better model. It's about a continuous iterative mission to improve the quality of your own gold standard data. Your job is now a data curation mission.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive into personalized ASR optimization. Thank you for joining us.
Until the next deep dive.